Good day, and thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Solar Pack Q1 2021 trading update conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. After the speaker's presentation, there will be a question and answer session. To ask a question during the session, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that the conference is being recorded today, and that's Tuesday, the 11th of May, 2021. If you require any further assistance, please press star zero. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Igning CEO, Arnd Kaldskov. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Solar Pack's Q1 2021 trading update. I am Ignacio Arzaco, Executive Chairman of the company, and we have also in the call Pablo Burgos, CEO, Javier Arellano, Head of Corporate Development and Investor Relations, and Luján de la Rica, Head of Administration and Control. Our conference call will be split between a presentation and a Q&A session that will come after. Total duration of this presentation will be maximum 1 hour. The presentation is since this morning available in our website and in the CNMV website. Only as reminder, as the CNMV has removed the obligation to report results in Q1 and Q3, the documentation has been filed in the CNMV section, other relevant information. We are maintaining our reporting policy unchanged with the release of quarterly info. Although we understand and agree that in some cases, quarterly information, especially for Q1 with only 3 months evolution, could be in some cases difficult to extrapolate and understand. In any case, in this trading update, we'll be focusing not only in the financial information, but much, much more in business development relevant information that can help you understand Solar Pack's evolution. Let us move to page 2, where we have an important disclaimer that applies to the information contained in this presentation. Please read it after the call if you have not yet. Page 3 contains the agenda of today's discussion. We will start with a brief review of the key milestones and an introduction of the results. Then we will have a more detailed operations update and a financial review. Finally, we will remind our long-term outlook. After the presentation, we will start the Q&A session. Please follow the instructions you have received to place questions. In the document we have filed, you can also find an appendix with additional, more detailed financial information. Moving on to page 4, we want to highlight 3 key milestones for the period. First, Q1 21 results show a robust segment EBITDA of 12 million euros, with power generation already consolidated as the main recurring contributor to EBITDA, with the energy generated from our 450 megawatt in operation. Our power generation and services business units have executed in line with our expectations of the beginning of the year. DEFCON margin has been lower than in Q1 2020, 10% compared to 26%. 2 comments here. First, last year Q1 2020 margin were extremely high and not possible to extrapolate to the rest of the year or to other quarters. Second, in Q1 2021, we had a margin erosion in our Araucana project in Chile with not planned cost deviations. In total, approximately 1.5 million euros, and we were not able to fully compensate this deviation with our healthy margin in the 3SP Malaysian project. Second, we want to highlight our intense development activities in 2021. We continue at full speed in all target geographies, and we have 3.5 gigawatt of projects waiting to participate in public or private tenders during 2021 in our key markets, Spain, US, Chile, Colombia, South Africa, India, Southeast Asia. In the operations update section, Pablo will deep dive in this development activity and explain the status of the projects. And finally, as third milestone, an update on DEFCON margin for full year 2021 that is affected by COVID-19 and EPC cost increases in Araucana, Chile, and Gorbea, India projects. Our strong DEFCON margin in 3SP Malaysia project and other margin enhancement measures that we are implementing only partially offset these negative effects. Araucana, with 50 megawatts as explained, is having delays and cost increases due to lockdowns and international logistics. Gorbea, 419 megawatts, is experiencing delays in PPA signature. In addition, the severe COVID-19 situation in India is increasing pressure on the project timeline and DEFCON margins that is being affected by current module prices increase. Margin and profitability improvement measures only partially compensate impact on original targets. And the 3SP project, 116 megawatt in Malaysia, remains with good margins unaffected by COVID or EPC cost increases and is even beating our estimates at the beginning of 2021. In page 5, we have a summary of the key financial figures for Q1 2021. We always differentiate and show the segment information and the IFRS 1. As you know, segment information help us to show and understand the cash generation and profitability of our three business units. In development and construction, during these 3 months, we have been executing mainly the construction and development of 3SP in Malaysia, build and own, and Araucana in Chile, build and sell. We had in Q1 2021 a 10% gross margin in line with the low end of our guidance and lower than the above average 26% Q1 2020 gross margin. Margin in 2021 has been eroded mainly due to higher cost in Chile, partially compensated by 3SP, that is expected to generate strong margins during the full year 2021. In DEFCON, we continue accelerating our development work in all geographies with good results in terms of increases in pipeline and identified opportunities for further growth. In power generation, we saw proportional information. Results for the quarter are in line with our expectations at the beginning of the year. The difference in EBITDA in Q1 21 compared to Q1 20 is mainly explained by the profitable sale of the 49% stake of the Peruvian projects to Ardian, partially offset by higher contribution from Granja project in Q1 2021 in Chile. In services, we are also in line with our expectations at the beginning of the year with slightly better margins than 2020. With all that, we show in our total segment information an EBITDA of 12 million euros with a reduction of 5 million compared to Q1 2020, explained mainly by DEFCON business unit deviations. The IFRS reported information shows for Q1 21 revenues of 28 million euros and EBITDA of 12 million euros with an EBITDA margin of 43%. Let me please now hand over to our CEO, Pablo Burgos.
Thank you, Nacho. If we can please move to page 7, I will happily review the operations update for the last quarter, starting with the power generation business unit. There has been no change to our power generation portfolio during the last quarter. As you all know, the geographic balance of our power generation activity is relevant for our business, and we do track this KPI each quarter. No surprises during Q1 2021. The highest contributing revenue generator has been Spain, country-wise, with close to 30% of all the revenues. The lowest contributing revenue generators have been India and Peru, with 21% and 22% respectively. We are looking at all times to non-GAAP attributable revenues to Solarpack. Turning the page to slide 8, we do have 192 megawatts under construction in Chile and Malaysia, which is the same number as in the last quarter. Highlights of the quarter are the following. First, Kinantu and Panimavida projects are already grid-connected and generating energy. Given that these two power plants are build-and-sell projects, we are currently proceeding with acceptance protocols with our client CVE, and the sale and transfer of these assets will occur within this Q2. The sale and transfer to CVE will mean a relevant cash infusion to Solarpack of around $15 million. Second, there is another bucket of Chilean PMGT projects, which we call Araucana, that are in earlier stages of construction. Nevertheless, Cortijo and Moya show a well-advanced level of progress, while Recoleta and San Antonio are in earlier stages. As already highlighted, these projects have faced cost increases mainly linked to the lockdown in Chile due to COVID and to the steep increase in sea freight costs globally. We have already considered these extra costs in the reporting we do share with you all today. Completing the Chile review, we are progressing in our San Marcos project, which we aim to complete and hopefully expand up to 13 megawatts during this year, 2021. And finally, our most relevant construction going on today is the 3SP project in Malaysia. News are very positive here, with costs within budget or even better, and construction progressing smoothly. Our base case scenario considers grid connection at the end of this Q3 this year. All the main equipment is at site or in transit. The first solar modules are already in Malaysia and are being installed as we speak. Please turn the page to slide 9. In this slide, we have a bird's eye view of the pipeline that Solarpack manages today. We have increased our pipeline and identified opportunities projects to 8.7 gigawatts since the last quarter, up 8%. Main additions come from the USA and rest of the world. The increase in pipeline projects is 108 megawatts. And in the case of identified opportunities, the increase is 554 megawatts. Please turn to page number 10 for a more detailed split of the current project portfolio. Highlights here are the following. First, we note that the Aromo project is still being considered pipeline. Relevant for news for the project is the election of the new Ecuadorian president, Mr. Guillermo Lasso. This nomination will lead to a new government formed in May 24th, which will allow us to get in contact with the new team in the Ministry of Energy and enable us to carry out final negotiations and discussions for the execution of the PPA, moving this project to backlog status. Second, we have increased our pipeline in Spain with 280 megawatts of new additions, since we are in shortlist mode for the provision of EPC services to a private developer. In South Africa, we note that we have moved back from pipeline to identified opportunity two projects with lease agreements until the new owner of the land confirms project locations. And finally, with respect to the Gorbea project, we are experiencing delays in PPA signature. And as already mentioned by Nacho, the COVID situation in India is increasing the pressure on project timeline, and its DEFCON margin is likely to be affected by the current PV module price scenario, which has changed significantly from the dates we expected to start construction last year. Now please turn the page to number 11. We want to share with the market the intense development activities we are carrying out already and plan to do so for the rest of the year. We are looking ahead to exciting prospects with a total of 3.6 gigawatts of projects that could move into backlog this year. Of course, it is not probable that 100% of these projects move to backlog, but we believe that the quality of the pipeline will allow us to move a relevant portion of them and help us meet the targets we did set in our new strategic plan. Looking into the different geographies, we know the following. Starting with our core markets, in Spain, we plan to start negotiations with the private PPA market to secure offtake agreements for our Borneo project in Spain. We may also take part in the next round of tenders run by the Ministry of Energy. We will go in more detail into this project in the next slide. Notice to Proceed, NTP, which means start of construction is expected to happen during next year, and we will deploy this project in build and own mode. We also look forward to moving into backlog an EPC opportunity we are negotiating for up to 200 MW in Spain. In the U.S., we are constantly tendering energy contracts for a total of 950 MW in projects. Competition is high, but we know positively from the market that our projects are competitive, and we expect some of them to be moved to backlog this year and reach NTP status during 2022. In Chile, we have two build and own opportunities moving ahead. First, we are in ongoing discussions with the private PPA market in Chile for securing offtake arrangements in our Aurora project, 220 MW in size. The aim is to reach NTP status in early 2022. On the other side, we have a pool of PMGD projects for which we aim to secure long-term financing during the second half of this year for a total of approximately 72 MW in size. Moving on to Colombia, we have ongoing negotiations with incumbent utilities for signing private PPA contracts in at least one of our projects. This would allow us to have our first build and own project in Colombia. There is also an opportunity to secure offtake arrangements in the public tender that the Ministry of Energy has approved to be held in October 2021. We have also got LOIs for the sale of this project in build and sell mode. We may end up in a combination of build and own and build and sell for these projects, which would be attractive for Solarpack given our declared asset rotation strategy. We are very positive that these projects will reach NTP status in Q1 2022. In Ecuador, as mentioned in the previous slide, we expect to finalize PPA discussions with the government of Ecuador once it takes office in late May. And for India, we have developed a new 419-megawatt project in Rajasthan, different to the Gorbea project, but similar in technically, and we plan to post a bid in the next coming tender of SECI, which is expected to happen within this quarter, and subject to some pending steps by SECI, like publishing the list of authorized module suppliers. This project will be probably a combination of build and own and build and sell modes, while we attract some minority long-term investors to the project once awarded. In the case of Malaysia, we expect a fifth round of the large-scale solar program to take place during the third quarter of 2021, and we are preparing ourselves to take part after our successful 3SP project, which was awarded in the third round of this program. This project would be executed in a build-and-own strategy. In the Southeast Asia region, we have presented a bid to the tender set up by the Cambodian government-owned utility, EDC, and we expect to get final results shortly. This is an ADB, Asian Development Bank, sponsored tender with a high-quality PPA. The project would be a 65 megawatt in size with a build-and-own strategy. Then moving to South Africa, which has finally called the very much expected round 5 of the government-sponsored Renewable Energy IPP program. The bids have to be submitted in August this year, and we are working to submit bids with 3 projects totaling 259 megawatts in size. These projects will be executed in build and own mode, although our ownership share will be low considering the local ownership restrictions of the tender rules, which we are looking at right now. Our local joint venture with Navitas provides us with good credentials for submitting a good qualifying bid. We also want to share with the market 2 leads we are working hard on. First one is about Israel. Solarpack has formed a JV with a very reputed Israel infra fund called Keystone, in which we have a 63% stake. We have been pre-qualified with 23 other bidders to take part in a tender for a PPA contract with the Israeli incumbent utility IEC. The PPA is for a 24-year period, and it requires the setup of a 260-megawatt PV plant together with a 200-megawatt-hour battery electricity storage system. Due date for the bid is June 21, and the NTP of the project would be early 2023. We are planning to execute the project in build and own mode together with our partner Keystone. And finally, we are also preparing a bid for an expected tender to come during Q4 2021 in Tunisia. The size of the project will be around 82 megawatts and will be executed in build and own mode. As you can see, our development teams have a lot to do, and we are very optimistic about what 2021 will bring us in terms of order intake. We will keep you posted on developments in this front. Then please turn to page number 12. We want to share with you the development progress of our flagship project in Spain, which is called Borneo. This project is located in the province of Guadalajara and is 400 megawatts in size. The expected energy output is 773 gigawatt hours, which is equivalent to 1,930 equivalent hours. The interconnection is executed in the substation owned by Red Eléctrica Española and located in San Sebastián de los Reyes. This means that we will be tied to one of the biggest consumption nodes in the country, servicing northern Madrid. The site conditions are really ideal, with wide flat surfaces available and with absence of shadows whatsoever. Solarpack obtained interconnection rights in October 2020, and since then, we have performed many tasks, like the kickstart of BIR studies and the submission of the environmental studies and preliminary authorizations. These last two were accepted for review in April, fulfilling one of the development obligations which are now required by the regulation in Spain. 80% of the land has been secured already, which is close to 700 hectares, at a market price of 1,500 euros per hectare. ESG factors are relevant in this project. The location is ideal for a reduced impact, but we are also proactively developing a project with a regional research and development institute, which is part of the Junta de Castilla-La Mancha, in an initiative for analyzing compatibility of different types of crops to be cultivated within the power plant. This is what is called agrivoltaics. All in all, we expect to achieve ready-to-build status in Borneo during the second half of next year. We believe this is a very high-quality project with the main cost elements very much optimized to be able to deliver a competitive cost of energy in our portfolio. That was all from my side in relation to the operations review. Javier will now guide us through the financial review. Javier, please.
Thank you, Pablo. Now, moving on to the financial review, we go to slide 14. We see that total segment EBITDA has reached 12.2 million in this quarter, maybe driven by PowerGen, which together with services continues to bring visibility in the long run. Again, differences with Q1 2020 are fundamentally explained by DEFCON segment, which proved very high above the guidance gross margins in Q1 2020. If we move to slide 15, we see that DEFCON gross margin in the quarter stands at the low end of the guidance range. As we've already explained, this is mainly due to higher costs seen in some of the build and sell projects in Chile, partially compensated by the strong 3SP project margin in Malaysia. If we look at Q1 2020 figures for comparison, we need to bear in mind that Q1 last year saw a very high gross margin of 26%, as Ignacio mentioned, well above the 10 to 15% range, which was partly explained by project execution stages with higher than average margins in that quarter. On the next slide, we see that PowerGen has achieved revenues of 13.6 million and EBITDA of 11.4 million this quarter, in line with SolarPack's expectations at the beginning of 2021. Differences with Q1 2020 come fundamentally from the different percentage owned in the Peruvian assets during this quarter versus Q1 last year, 51% versus 100%, as a result of the profitable sale of the 49% stake in these assets that was closed in early Q2 last year. As for our portfolio quality metrics, as Ignacio has already shared, 81% of total revenues coming from PowerGen and services were in hard currencies, and Powergen revenues coming from contracted sources stood at 77%. On slide 17, we can deep dive in the services segment information. Q1 2021 saw revenues and EBITDA at 1.9 million euros and 0.6 million euros respectively, in line with our expectations at the beginning of the year. Higher gross margin and EBITDA is driven by operational efficiencies derived from a bigger fleet serviced, 742 megawatts under O&M and 716 megawatts under AMS as of March 31st, 2021. Now on slide 18, we can take a look at the IFRS financials very quickly. So operating revenues reflect, as we explained, lower build and sell activity in Q1 2021 versus Q1 last year, partially offset by a higher contribution to the consolidated accounts from Powergen. As for EBITDA differences between last quarter and Q1 2020, these are mainly driven by the high build and sell DEFCON margins achieved in Q1 2021 versus the low-end range margins seen in Q1 2021. These differences, as we see, have flown down to the bottom line. Now, Ignacio will give a quick reminder of our strategy update guide.
Thank you, Javier. So finally, please flip to page 20 and let us remind and reconfirm the long-term outlook that we discussed in our strategy update presentation end of March. We split our guidance in two periods, up to 2023 and then extend the trend up to 2026. Up to 2023, we plan our yearly order intake to evolve up to the 600 megawatt and to have 1.8 to 2 gigawatt in operation and under construction. Our extended guidance up to 2026 shows a yearly order intake to evolve up to 1 gigawatt and to have 4 gigawatt in operation and under construction by the end of the year. We plan to maintain our DEFCON margin in the range of 10 to 15% with 70% build and own strategy versus 30% build and sell strategy. The equity leveraged IRRs for hard currency or market countries are between 7 and 9%. And for soft currencies or countries are between 11 and 14%. As you know, the market remains very dynamic and therefore we continue monitoring the market IRRs very closely to set an adequate balance between growth and profitability targets for each currency and type of country. So thank you very much for your attendance and let's move now to the Q&A session.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. To withdraw your question, please press the pound hash key. So once again, ladies and gentlemen, that is star one on your telephone keypad to ask a question. And your first question comes from the line of George Guimaraes. Please go ahead.
Sorry, Jorge, this is Pablo from SolarPack. We can barely hear you. Is it the problem on our end?
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, now we can hear you. Thank you.
I'm terribly sorry for this. So I have three questions. One on India. You mentioned costs increases and possible delays in PPA. So if you can detail on that and what could be the impact in terms of the overall profitability of the project, this would be the first one. The second one, you mentioned in the presentation that logistic costs have increased due to shipping costs. I understand there is also inflation in solar PV module costs. Is that the case, and what could be the impact per megawatt? If you can quantify per megawatt, what could we be talking about? I understand that logistical costs could be adding something on the 30,000 euro per megawatt range. What about solar PV module costs? And then just a clarification on slide 11. Those projects that are on slide 11 are all in the pipeline, or some of them are also in the identified opportunities? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jorge. This is Pablo again. Yeah, on India, and your question about the profitability of the project, we still cannot get to final numbers here. We are still working with local contractors, with module suppliers, to finalize total capex of the project, and that is because typically when the PPA is signed, the calendar of the project execution is fixed and determined. So that's how we can finalize these discussions. We expect that the development and construction margin of this project can be impacted significantly, as we said, because the delays in the PPA have resulted in a relevant increase in module prices compared to the price scenario that was in the market when we submitted our bid. Once we sign the PPA and we finalize negotiations and discussions with these contractors and module suppliers, we can finally estimate. But we foresee a relevant impact in the DEFCON margin of this project in particular. Again, the concept of the guides we use for DEFCON margin always contemplate that some of the projects can go better above the guides, some of them lower than the guides, which are...
Could it go negative?
No, we don't expect that to go negative. If we have a negative margin, probably the decision would be not to execute the project. Okay, but we will not proceed with a negative DEFCON margin.
We typically, this is Nacho speaking, Jorge. We typically do not disclose margins, DEFCON margins on a project by project basis, and we are not willing to disclose that. So. Currently, some examples here. Currently, we have three projects running. Out of the three projects, we have two of the projects that are above our guideline, our long-term guideline. One is on the top end, the other one is above our guidance. And now we are, Gorbea, expecting to be below our low end, the low end of our guidance. When we give the guidance, and because of that situation that the projects do evolve with very different margins, when we give the guidance, we always talk about average long-term guidance, and therefore we maintain, this is the reason why we maintain our guidance. Sometimes we have positive news coming since we tender until we execute. Like, for example, this is happening in Malaysia. We are benefiting from cost improvements and also from better module prices than the ones that we had when we tender. And in other projects, like the Gorbea one in India, we are suffering from cost increases, in this case also very much linked to module prices, and this is negatively affecting our margins and taking the project out of the range of our guidance. But this is a very normal business operation, so this is the reason why our guidance is much more average long-run guidance.
Then on the question for the logistics, I mean, that this is a public discussion which impacts global trade, as you all know. The impact in module supply, of course, depends on the destination. We cannot compare shipments from China to Europe or to LATAM with shipments from China to Malaysia or India, which are much cheaper. But taking, for example, the scenario of a project located in Spain, it is a very accurate number, the one you mentioned, if I'm not wrong. You mentioned $30,000 per megawatt. That's what we are seeing, between $30,000 and $35,000 per megawatt. That's the impact today of these sea freights. We can say that 1 year back, or less than 1 year back, before this crisis started, costs could be in the range of $5,000 per megawatt, maybe $6,000, $7,000 in that amount. So it is a significant increase. You know, the hike in EPC capex cost is something that we already shared in our strategy update. But again, like in other periods in our industry, we believe we will see these numbers starting to go down next year. But for this year and the beginning of 2022, we will see still very, very tough module market prices. And honestly, the logistics is very, very difficult to give a forecast on that.
Maybe on the last question, Jorge, the projects shown on slide 11 are most of them pipeline, with the exception of the India opportunity. As you know, typically in India, projects move many times directly from identified opportunities to backlog, because land acquisition, which is the main item for the development of projects there, start once you are awarded with the PPA. But for all the rest would be projects that are within pipeline.
Okay, many thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, it is star one to ask a question. And your next question comes from the line of V. Sanz de Madrid. Your line is open.
Yes, hello. I had a few questions. So first of all, on what you have just mentioned about the higher logistic costs and the higher module prices, is that something that when you have an asset for build and sell, that you can then later recover in your selling price, or you have to absorb it all yourself in your activity in general? That would be my first question. My second is around those 3.6 gigawatts of projects that you have mentioned. Do you think that with the visibility you have and you know the status of some of those projects, that the target you have in terms of order intake, entry of 600 megawatts per year, that potentially chances are high that this year you can beat this target, especially given you have some of these projects in Spain where you may have quite a good visibility there? Then also related to the projects, the project in Guadalajara, the 400 megawatt project, where you say it could be tenders or private PPAs, would you first try to see if this project can win something in the Spanish auction and later on try for a potentially corporate PPA, or is that something that you are doing in parallel? And then I wanted to understand also in India, the situation with the Gorbea project. What has been the reason for the delay in signing the PPA? And given there has, because of this delay in signing the PPA, the costs have gone up so much, is there any way that you can renegotiate the PPA to a higher level, or that is something that is not possible? Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Virginia. This is Pablo. So on the first question about build and sell and the capacity that our clients could absorb prices. That's not typically what happens in the market, but also I think it's important to say that when you sign build and sell contracts, that's a moment where construction is quite close to start. And typically you are able to secure the prices for the main equipment of the project with high certainty and without capacity to change. So the risk of cost deviations in build and sell projects are lower than in build and own projects. Nevertheless, you can be impacted by cost items like, for example, logistics, which are not possible to be secured long-term because it is a spot market, basically. But for the rest of the components, the difference in time between you sign these contracts and the moment you sign the EPC contract or the SPA contract with your client is very short, and the risk amount is quite low. On your second question about the possibility, about how we expect this 3.6 gigawatt could end up in order intake, we believe it is a very solid base to achieve our guides, and in particular, let's say, the mid-term guide that we have shared with the market for an amount of 1.8 to 2 gigawatts of projects to be completed or under construction in 2023, which requires more or less 470 to 600 megawatts per year. And we stick to that guide, and we believe that this list of projects will allow us to reach.
Maybe, Pablo, before you jump into the next point, quick remark here. So Tunisia, the project, the Tunisian project would not be considered as pipeline either. We're not considering that as pipeline.
Yeah.
Jorge, sorry for that.
Yeah, that's, complementing the answer to Jorge. Yes, thank you, Javier. And then on the Guadalajara project, Borneo project, we will discuss during the second half of this year alternatives for private PPA market and the public tenders. We still don't know exactly when the public tenders will be published, the level of competitiveness, and how the private PPA market will behave. In any case, once we fix a much more certain calendar, which, and this will happen in the next quarter, I would say, a more foreseeable calendar of execution of the permitting development of the project, we will be in a position to sit down with the market and try to negotiate this arrangement. So the answer is we will go in parallel between us, as you said. And then on the Gorbea projects, the reasons for the delay have been basically the more time needed by SECI to negotiate their sale energy sale agreements. The SECI is like a trading or brokering agency run by the federal government of India. They basically source energy from renewable energy generators and then resell this energy to the public distribution companies. That's how they operate. So in this second part, they had, because of COVID and other, let's say, energy market disruptions in India, more time than expected for signing these PPAs. And we don't see that the chances for transferring price increases in CAPEX to the PPA contract price will be possible. There is an exception for that, which is any change in law, meaning any tax or that could be collected, for example, custom duties for the import of equipment. In this case, we are allowed to transfer that to the PPA price, but not other macro events or macro economic impact in the project, like, for example, change in the cost of raw materials and so on. That is not contemplated in the PPA.
Okay, thank you. Can I ask one additional question, please? Do you have a CapEx and net debt guidance for the year, for 2021? Thank you.
No, we have not given specific guidance for CapEx for 2021, Virginia. In 2021, but in any case, in 2021, what are we planning to execute? We are finalizing the Araucana projects that are build and sell, so no CapEx there, and also we are selling the Kinantu and Panima Vida projects, also build and sell, so no CapEx there. And we are executing, the main project execution is 3SP Malaysia, the Malaysian projects, 116 megawatts, and there is CapEx needed for that project of around 60 million euros. This is the rough figure that comes on the top of my head, and this is the main CapEx execution that we have. Also, additionally to that, we are planning to start the construction of Gorbea by the end of the year. So Q4 is when it is originally planned. Gorbea total CapEx is around 130 million euros, around that figure. During this year, we would be able to approximately execute out of that CapEx, I would say between 40% and 50%, could be the estimated figure that we can give you. So we have Malaysia and partially Gorbea project, 40% of Gorbea project. This could be the two big CapEx figures that we have. The rest of the projects are a little bit more uncertain when they are ready to build, and we could be start investing into the rest of the projects.
Okay, thank you.
There are currently no further questions on the phone line, sir. Hi there, sir. We've just had a follow-up for another question, and it's from the line of George Anslow Sicils. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. This is Jorge. Just, I know that it's difficult to say, but are you expecting that this temporary increase in the cost can last for a long time in order to delay even more maybe the decision to go to some tenders or to start the construction on some of the projects, and in that sense, would you consider or do you think that the market will absorb that internally, in the sense that the PPA and tenders negotiations will not be able to reflect that increase in the cost? So basically, that the project IRR going forward could be a little bit lower, or this is temporarily for months. What's the feeling you have on this? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Jorge. This is Pablo. Yeah, I mean, we believe this is a temporary element, as we reflected in our strategy update. There is a lot of stress in some of the components for solar PV modules for the moment, and several other supply chains have been impacted by COVID. Again, the capacity of the PV industry to increase production capacity has been proven in the past very clearly, and we believe that during next year we will see signs of change for that. We believe that this is a price increase, and we have considered that in the range of 20,000 to 30,000 euros in total per megawatt DC, because there are other components that have been also reducing CapEx cost of the projects. So we don't see this as a huge element for impacting long-term the capacity of solar PV projects to compete in the electricity market and to having to increase prices so that they can so that they would reduce their market share. We don't see this as an impact, but it could affect temporarily projects like the one in Gorbea. But again, if we see the big picture, we can see projects in our case simultaneously where the DEFCON margins have gone significantly above our guides because of this effect, but the other way around, like the Malaysia project. In Malaysia, we finally managed to buy modules at a lower cost than what was originally considered in the tender process. In the Gorbea projects, it is the other way around.
And sorry, a follow-up. Is that just that for the panels or as well inverters or trackers or the equipment is affected as well?
No, it is basically the PV modules. Maybe in some of the in some other elements like the steel structures, you can be affected by steel prices globally in some percentage, but we don't see that that same effect in inverter costs. They even are, you know, slowly but steadily reducing costs year after year.
And so finally on the Gorbea, so would at which level the spread between the project IRR and the WACC of the project would you consider not to go ahead? So below whatever 200-300 basic points, do you consider that this is not worthy for you? And if this is possible with the cost expectations that you have now.
Yeah, we can still not finalize that position, Jorge, as we mentioned before, because we are still working. Given that the calendar of the project is still open, we cannot close all costs, capex, and elements. And we are working on other initiatives for enhancement of costs to compensate, as Nacho mentioned in the first slide, to compensate for this price increase in modules. Of course, we would go for the project if it creates value. If it doesn't create value, that's a scenario we don't like. But again, this is still too early, and we believe that the DEFCON margins will be impacted, but that we will be able to move the project forward. That's the scenario we're working on right now.
Okay, and just the final one then. And when would the final decision could take place? Yeah, already in 2021, in this quarter? Or?
Yeah, 2021, sure. 2021 for sure. The decision will depend, the moment we will take the decision will depend on the PPA signature by SECI. So the moment this happens, and this, I mean, we could expect this to happen during this Q2 quarter. Again, the COVID situation in India puts a bit of uncertainty here, but we know that SECI is preparing a signature process for these contracts. We know that positively. So from that moment in time, I would say that in a period of 3 up to 4 months, the decision and the exact costs and returns of the project will be known. So let's say that during Q2, Q3, this is a decision that would be most probably known.
We do have another question from the phone lines, sir, and it's a follow-up question from George Grumarev. Your line is open.
I sorry, just a follow-up, a clarification on what you just answered to Jorge. Can I understand from your words that under certain circumstances you could consider not to proceed, and I repeat to be very clear, you consider not to proceed with the Gorbea project? Thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, in an exercise where the Gorbea project does not add value and the return of the project does not mean the cost of capital, we would not proceed. That's I believe that that's an answer that you would get from, you know, from almost every developer here. But as I said, that's not the scenario we consider as probable right now. We still cannot end with specific numbers on the DEFCON margin that we are achieving in this project, and exactly the IRR that we would get as investor in the project. So the moment we get there, we will share with the market, but that's not the scenario we are considering as proper right now.
Okay, thank you very much.
There are no further questions on the phone line, sir. Ah, we've just had another question come through from V. Sands de Madrid. Your line is open.
Yes, I have one follow-up question. If you see, I heard what you said about what your expectations about module prices probably coming down after first quarter of 2022. But if this high cost situation persists both on the logistical side and on the commodity side and module side overall in the second half of this year, given there are several tenders taking place, do you think this could end up in perhaps higher prices coming out of the tenders, so that part of this overcost, people are shifting it, or because the competitive situation is very, very high, you don't foresee that outcome? Thank you.
We could see some price increases in tenders. Not dramatic, but we could see them, yes. That's something we would expect if this price scenario is still present in the rest of 2021, yes. Because most of the tenders would be between solar developers ourselves, not competing with other type of generation technologies. So maybe the impact is that the tender price is slightly up, but again, in many countries, in most of the countries, you could not find an alternative technology to reach this level of long-term prices for the supply of electricity. So there is ample room for that.
And the methodology everybody is using when tendering is quite similar. So it is very rare that people are betting for future price reductions when preparing a tender. People know current prices. People typically do negotiate with suppliers the big equipment so that they have some type of firm confirmation that they were going to be able to get to the prices. And it is very rare that people start doing bets when entering into the tender. So for that reason, if you are not able to get lower prices for the modules, for example, than the ones that you are getting right now, and you are calculating your IRRs the same way as everybody is calculating their IRRs, the normal situation is that there is a slight price increase in these moments, and this is probably what will happen.
Okay. Thank you.
There are no further questions on the phone line, sir.
Okay, Leanne, well, if there are no further questions, and I think, you know, we've already over time, we'd like to thank you, everyone, for attending the call and for the interest in SolarPack, and we remain at your disposal for any clarifications. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect. Speakers, please stand by.